As Mrs. Van Beekum already said, our theme today is going to be Enoch. So, interestingly enough, we're going to read from Scripture telling us all about Enoch. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24, and that can be found on page 8 and 9 of your Old Testament. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews 11, verses 5 through 6, on pages 1875 in the New Testament. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
All right, thanks, John. So what John read for us today is all that the entire Bible has to say about Enoch. All of five verses out of Scripture. In fact, yesterday I was sharing with some of you, I was up in Pulteneyville, New York, right along Lake Ontario. And a friend of mine was ordained into the ministry yesterday at the Pulteneyville Reformed Church. And after the service, we were sitting in the living room chatting, and I asked him what he was preaching. You know, this is what the exciting conversation that pastors have when they get together. So he told me, and he asked what I was preaching. And I said, oh, I'm preaching about Enoch. And he had this puzzled look on his face. And he said, Enoch? He's like, I should know who that is, right? I said, well, yeah, I think you should know who everyone in the Bible is. But before we read this, if someone had come up to you and said, tell me about Enoch's life, would you have been able to say? Enoch is a really interesting character. Of course, what we're looking at in this season of Easter, as I had mentioned before, are resurrection previews. There are four characters that Pastor Tom and I have chosen to capitalize on because they tell us something about what it means to live the resurrection life. So here's Enoch. What do we know about Enoch? Well, right away, we learn that when he is 65 years old, his wife, presumably, gives birth to Methuselah. And as Trudy said, Methuselah, we know, because he is the one out of that entire genealogy in the book of Genesis that gets us from Adam's sons to Noah, by the way, who lived the longest, 969 years, which is a really long time, right? Imagine that those of you who are the oldest here still had another, 900 years or so to live, 850 years. You know, you think you've lived a long time now. Imagine the stories you could tell when you're 500 years old. Anyway, so what we learn about Enoch is that when he's 65, he begets Methuselah, and then he walks with God, and he lives another 300 years, and then he is no more, because God took him away. What a strange thing to learn. If you read through the rest of that genealogy, it reads, you know, even Methuselah, he has children, other sons and daughters. lives to be 969, and then dies and goes to be with his ancestors. That is the way that the pattern usually plays itself out, which is why whenever there's an aberration from that, we have to consider, well, that's strange. He walked with God another 300 years, and then he was no more because God took him away. Well, I don't know what that means, because we don't really pick him up again until we get to the letter to the Hebrews. And those of you who know your Bibles pretty well will know that this particular chapter in Hebrews talks about all of the different Old Testament characters of faith. It's like a faith hall of fame. And if your name shows up in Hebrews 11, it means that you are someone to be honored, someone to be emulated, someone whose faith is instructional for all the rest of us. And so we learn, much like we have from the book of Genesis, that Enoch was taken because he walked with God, because he lived a life of faith, and he received a reward for that. So he walks with God. Any walkers in the congregation today? Okay? And you walk with someone else, usually? Okay? If you walk with someone else, you know that you develop a relationship with the person that you're walking with, right? In fact, at Northwestern College, where Sarah and I graduated from, it was well known that if a boy and a girl, who were barely capable of being called men and women by this point, if they went on a walk together, chances are that they were going to begin dating. Because walking with another person is a very intimate experience, especially if you walk for a long time or if you walk for many years. I believe that our relationship probably blossomed and bloomed more in those times of walking together, because when you're walking, you're talking. Or sometimes you're silent, but then you'll stop and talk about what you've been thinking about or what you've been dreaming about. You have an opportunity to share a piece of yourself with another person. And so just imagine that the person that you are walking with is God. It's a very, very intimate kind of relationship to walk closely with someone. And that's a metaphor that we use for other things too, right? If someone is going through a hard time, what do we say about the people that are with them? They are walking with them through that difficult time, right there at their side, experiencing what they experience, seeing what they are seeing, feeling what they are feeling. And imagine that the person that you're walking with is God. What a fantastic experience. I can imagine that it might be kind of hard to do that in this day and age. There's a lot to distract us from that walk. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, this was probably easier for Enoch. I mean, the world was a much simpler place then, right? Not all of the things to distract us that we have today. Of course, I hate to burst your bubble around this one, but we learned that Methuselah is the grandfather of Noah. If you were to open up to the book of Genesis and find the way that Noah's narrative begins, the story of Noah, you know, the one who built the ark and the animals came two by two and God destroyed the world with a flood. What we're told about the world at that time and the people who inhabited it is that the desires of the people's hearts were always evil all the time. The desires of their hearts were always evil all the time. And not just a few people, but almost everybody, with the exception of Noah and his family, who were found to be faithful, who walked with God. So imagine the world that you live in is filled with people whose desires in their hearts are always evil all the time. Well, it might not be that hard of a world to imagine, because it certainly seems that way sometimes for us, doesn't it? And when we turn on the news, when we open up the newspaper, when we see news magazines, you pull up, you know, a website that has some news on it, it's usually bad news. People in our own country or in other countries who are doing terrible things to each other for power or money or sex, those are usually the three things that tend to have the most evil surrounding them. And it wouldn't be that big of a stretch to say that the desires of their hearts are always evil all the time. That's the kind of world that Enoch is living in. And yet, he walks with God. And so, his reward, a resurrection preview. He vanishes. He walks with God for 300 years, and then he is no more. And the writer of the Hebrews tells us that that was his reward for a life lived in faith. Now, I can't make you any guarantees today that if you go forth from this place today and you walk with God, that you too will vanish and be no more. In fact, well, there are only two that I can think of that this is true of, the one we're talking about today and the one that Pastor Tom is talking about next week that we'll get to, who was also taken up before he died. That is, until we get to Jesus, of course. But I'll let you find out who that is next week. A little commercial for you there. You'll want to be sure and come back next week for that. But what we know about Enoch is that this righteousness of his is not because of his actions, because of his deeds, lest we think that the way we get right with God is by our own actions and by our own goodness. Because what we learn from the letter to the Hebrews is that Enoch had faith. And what we know is that faith does not come from us. We do not simply decide one day that we are going to have faith, but faith is a gift from God. Faith is planted in us by the Holy Spirit. Now, you might remember a time when you came to understand what that faith was and maybe in your mind made a conscious decision to embrace that faith and make it your own. But the Spirit was moving in somebody or in something that caused you to come into that faith. And so what we learn from Enoch's story is that he walked with God because God walked with him first. And the resurrection preview in all of this is that for us, God walks alongside of us as well. So, as you go forth from this place, imagine that every step you take, God is right there alongside of you. Not in the sense that my grandparents used to be like, which was, you know, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. You know, that whole thing where if you step out of line, God is going to zap you. No, it's not quite like that. But imagine that God is walking alongside of you in love, taking you by the hand, either as a parent to a child or as lovers. That kind of intimate hand-holding, guiding, directing, sharing that deep relationship, seeing the world and experiencing the world the way that the other person does. When we walk with God, we begin to take on some of the identity of God. We become more like Jesus. And that is the power of the resurrection in our lives. The resurrection means, as we found last week, that sin no longer clings so closely, that we are freed to be able to walk in the freedom of God's word, to be able to walk in the freedom of the grace of God moved by the Holy Spirit into places that might have been outside of our own comfort zones, but are not so for the Holy Spirit. So as you go forth from this place, imagine that God is right there next to you, walking alongside of you. And if you're not here next week, well, I'll just assume that God has taken you. Let's pray together. Most holy God, these mysteries are sometimes too much for us to fathom. But we find in them something that opens our eyes wide to your reign in our midst, which is that our world is a different place because you came, because you died, because you were raised again to new life, and are raising us each day as well. Lord, as we look back on the lives of those faithful ones who walked with you through trials, through tribulations, difficult times, help us to get a sense of your presence in the midst of it all. And as we walk through this world, Lord, make your presence known among us, that you are walking there with us, side by side, hand in hand, helping us to experience things as you experience them, leading us into new places, new opportunities for service, new opportunities for learning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.